The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this date in 1967, the last of the lunar orbiters lifted off.
Picture-taking lunar orbiters gave scientists a different perspective as they circled above the moon. Again, pictures. Pictures from a distance and pictures close up. Pictures revealing the lunar surface in remarkable detail. The kind of detail needed before men land there.
The lunar orbiters were uncrewed probes which placed themselves in an orbit, allowing them to map the entire surface of the moon. The photos obtained by the orbiters were arranged into maps from which future Apollo landing sites were selected. Not only did Lunar Orbiter 5 complete the unfinished map of the lunar far side, but it aided in communication tests so engineers on Earth would know how long to expect future manned moon missions to be out of contact. In 1974, Soviet space planners approved design work on a new heavy-lift booster rocket, Energia, which would later launch the first and only flight of the Soviet space shuttle, Buran. The planners even got funding contributed from the Soviet military by working everyone into a frenzy of paranoia that the upcoming U.S. space shuttle would be able to re-enter over Soviet airspace and perform nuclear bombing runs over Moscow? Okay. In 1990, the Soviets launched Soyuz TM-10, carrying the seventh full-time crew of cosmonauts to space station Mir. Born on this day in 1818, Maria Mitchell, the first professional female astronomer in America. Her telescope is still on display in the Smithsonian. Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead was born today in 1942. Astronaut Richard Covey was born in 1946. And in 1974, the first pilot to cross the Atlantic solo by airplane, Charles Lindbergh, died. On this day in 1967, with format change looming ahead for videotapes and, of course, no home video market to cater to, the BBC began erasing episodes of Doctor Who from its archives. Virtually the entire William Hartnell era was earmarked for erasure. The only reason any of his episodes exist for us to watch today is because copies were later returned from foreign markets to which the BBC had syndicated the series' earliest episodes. In 1978, Atari rolled out the arcade game Avalanche, which later inspired the Activision game Kaboom. And in 1980, Cinematronics declared war on the arcade with the vector graphics combat game Armor Attack. On the same day in 1982, the arcade favorite Frogger hopped onto the Atari 2600. But that wasn't the only game to hit the Atari today in 1982. Tiger Vision released King Kong under license from Universal Studios for the 2600, and as you might have guessed, it was a shabby take on Donkey Kong. But shabby game or not, it was a lot more complicated than that. Universal had just sued Nintendo, claiming that the Japanese video game company's Donkey Kong ripped off the idea of a giant ape grabbing a helpless woman and climbing to the top of a building with her. Even though Nintendo had only recently established its American offices, it stood its ground against Universal and eventually proved in court that Universal itself had declared the original King Kong novel to be in the public domain in a prior lawsuit, paving the way for Universal's own 1976 movie remake. Appeals continued all the way up until 1986, but in the end, Nintendo didn't owe Universal a dime, and because Universal had sent cease and desist notices to all of Nintendo's licensees for Donkey Kong merchandise, the movie studio was ordered to cough up over $1 million in legal fees and damages. Incidentally, Nintendo's attorney in this case, John Kirby, would later have one of Nintendo's video game characters named after him. Go ahead, guess which one. And in 1981, with music videos rising in popularity, the first all-music video cable channel signed on for the first time, MTV.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
This is it. Welcome to MTV Music Television, the world's first 24-hour stereo video music channel. Just moments ago, all of the VJs and the crew here at MTV collectively hit our executive producer, Sue Steinberg, over the head with a bottle of champagne, and behold, a new concept is born. The best of TV combined with the best of radio. Now, starting right now, you'll never look at music the same way again.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcast and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported. And there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic, arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Accessing Escape Pod Historic Archive. Record located. Doctor Who, Episode 36, August 1st, 1964. The first description of the Doctor and Susan home planet. Commencing playback.
Grandfather and I don't come from Earth. Ages since we've seen our planet. It's quite like Earth. But at night the sky is a burnt orange and the leaves on the trees are bright silver.
My mind tells me that you wish to see your home again. And yet there is a part of you which calls for adventure. A wanderlust.
Yes. Well, we'll all go home someday. That's if you'll let us.
The Logbook.com Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Green.
Now, starting right now, you'll never look at music again. We'll be right back on MTV.